CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right. You know what this means. You've made it to the end of the week. Friday is here because Simpiwe is here, which is always a good sign. You scared the hell out of me on Monday when you came in here. I was like, what? It's Friday already? Yes. Yes, the weekend finally. Even James this morning, producer James, has only really taken over this week.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, Fridays feel good. I'm like, yeah. That's the thing that happens here. Fridays feel good. So, right, up and at 'em, let's go. I have noticed, don't mean to depress anybody, I've noticed it's getting darker much, much earlier.
And it's been a bit chilly.
It has. It's actually been, there's a little bit of a bite first thing in the morning. So, just get with it. I mean, it's going to happen, right? Winter's inevitable and then summer will come again and you're just going to make it till then.
No, I don't want it.
Just make it till then. You'll be fine, I promise. All right, good morning, everybody. Let's get going. We got so much to talk about today. I see Mfundo's right in it this morning with a weekend, baby. Yeah, nice. Yes, and Snipes, correct. Like and subscribe, motherfuckers. Let's get this going. JP says, whoop, whoop, few more hours and then we get to chillax.
Yes.
What are your plans this weekend? Got some fun?
Going to the zoo.
The zoo.
Don't judge me.
No, I'm
don't
not judging.
Judge
I'm just,
you.
Like, I have not thought about the zoo for a very long time. Tell
Neither
me what.
Neither have I, but like, I
your
saw.
Your idea?
No, not even. I saw this post on social media, like the Joburg Zoo is celebrating 120 years.
That's
so
cool.
They're basically like allowing anyone who was born in the month of March to go in for free and then for everybody else to go in for 20 rand. So of course I'm utilizing this to the fullest.
You are one of those people who checks out when the specials are.
And yes.
I think that's smart. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes. So my friends and I, we're going to the zoo. I haven't been to the Joburg one. I've been to the Pretoria one.
But you are not a big animal fan.
Oh, no. But I can appreciate like art and just nature.
Okay, but as long as they're behind the bars.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not trying to feed them. Like, I'm also not that person. Cute, come. No, I'm like, oh, okay, that's how a tiger looks like. That's how a leopard looks like. Okay, mm-hmm. You know.
Sure, cool.
And then
okay.
Keep it moving.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Imagine Simpiwe in front of the polar bear enclosure. Now, well, you get two kinds of people now, right? You get people who are okay with zoos.
Yes.
And you get the people who are like real animal activists and they're like, zoos are evil. We must shut down zoos. I always want to remind those people that just because you might be rich enough to travel the world to see an actual polar bear in its natural environment, there are lots of kids that if there wasn't a zoo, I mean, I remember when we were kids, we did a tour to the zoo as part of our school, right? Yeah. And we went to the Pretoria one that you were talking about. It was the first time I'd seen a lot of those animals.
Yes.
And I think if you're a kid and you've never seen certain monkeys before, like it's fascinating to you as a child. And it's always the monkey cages that are the most exciting because we see ourselves. We're like, those things are like behaving like us. And we are more closely related to them than anything else. So it's bound to be the most popular exhibit at the zoo. I always hated the reptiles. I still do. But if I hadn't gone there as a small child, I mean, you're not going to see half these creatures in your life in the wild. I mean, some of them are very, very difficult to find.
Oh, yeah. And I don't plan on being in the wild. So
can get you.
I know, right? Because I am meat. I am fresh meat. And they're like, oh, honey, you know, you look like a new challenge and I can't do anything about it. So yeah. I'd rather go to the zoo. And also I've been to, is it the bird? What's it called? I think it's in Rosebank where they just have the birds.
An aviary or a...
Yes, that was also nice because then I saw all the different kinds of birds out there. And it's like you learn about the animals more in detail and you know what their names are. And so it's like I will do things like that and then come back home.
You're always up for an adventure. And yes. I think the other thing that zoos do that people have to take consideration of, because TL's just said it as well, is that zoos are now part of a massive conservation effort. And they do a lot of research at zoos. A zoo is a place where people who are studying zoology can do their thing, learn about the different animals, see them, observe them at close quarters. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, nothing's ideal. I mean, for example, if you're an anthropologist and you go harassing some poor island tribe because you're studying them.
Oh, wow.
Is that any different to a zoo where the rest of us go and watch animals?
No.
So I think they serve a purpose. And I really don't want to be one of those people who's fighting about zoos and where they fit into things and whether we should, you know, stop going there. Or I don't have a strong view either way. And I'm not like going to suddenly become an activist for any of this stuff. Although a lot of people I know are. So what can you say? Sim, you should come to the Cape Town Aquarium. Oh, hang on. You go up the cable car aquarium and go on the big wheel in the waterfront for free on your birthday. That sounds good. You three activities, Simpiwe. You just told you used the word free, and Simpiwe's like, I will figure a way to get to Cape Town so I can use those three things for free.
Yes, and my birthday is on a Thursday, and then that Friday is Good Friday, so it's a long weekend. So I could probably, you know.
Listen, that's a good point. So everybody take out your calendars because this month is just insane.
Yes.
Okay, so first things first, we've got a public holiday on the 21st, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That means there's no work on the 21st, Human Rights Day.
That's a Thursday.
Thursday.
Yebo.
Then that means the Friday people aren't going to go to work. Forget it. It's not going to happen. And then, you know, that turns into a long weekend. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. People will take off the Friday even, you know. Then the next weekend, which is the last weekend of March, mm-hmm. is Easter.
Yes.
So Thursday, which is the birthday.
Yes.
Then that's the 28th. Then the 29th is Good Friday. And then you've got Easter Sunday on the 31st, mm-hmm. which means
Monday's
a holiday too. So you basically, if you're really clever about this, there are two long weekends coming up at the end of March. And then April, which is usually a mess, is not so bad. But at the end of April, we've also got the 27th. No bonus day. It falls on a Saturday. So there is not any public holiday in April.
But then usually you have two April, in May.
Yeah. Well, yes, because we'll have – not two. Come on. The one day you have to vote, that's not a day off. Some people just sit at home, but you have to go and vote on the 29th of May, that is.
So I don't know if you guys have spoken about this, but if you're not sure who to vote for, right? Yes, if you haven't figured out who am I voting for,
you just throw a dart at a dartboard.
But you must go out and vote. There's like this online site called – Your Vote, and basically it asks you a series of a question. So it's Y-O-H, Your.
Okay, Your Vote.
Yes. And basically it asks you a series of questions, and then by the end of it, based on how you've answered, it tells you which party to vote for.
Okay.
So if you don't know who to vote for, try that.
Find your political match. All right, I'm going to do this quickly. I know we don't do politics on a Friday, but let's do this live.
Yes.
Okay, let's go. I'm going to start this and we'll answer.
And I'll tell you my answer because I've also...
Do you care about the future of South Africa? Well, duh, obviously. Which of the following best represents your view? One, national government should have clear power over local and provincial governments. Or two, more power should be given to local and provincial. Well, I want the people who are closest to me... Mm-hmm. to be able to make the decisions, because then I can also get to them, right? So I'm going to say two.
Okay.
All right. When it comes to the relationship between the government and the private sector, which approach do you feel would be best? Number one, increased involvement of private sector with investment in key infrastructure. Sounds good to me so far. Two, reduce the role of the private sector in services such as education and healthcare. Yeah, like government will run that better. Three, largely remove the private sector with the nationalization of strategic sectors. Well, definitely not three. I'm going one. Let's see. Which of these do you think would be better to improve the lives of poorer South Africans? One, the expansion of social grants. Two, encourage economic participation through tax incentives. Or three, neither. Well, I mean, poor people do pay tax, but they pay things on VAT.
Yes.
You know, they might not pay a lot of income tax, but they are paying. And all the other stuff that costs us money in this country costs them money too. Like the increase in the petrol price makes it much harder for poor people to get from A to B and to earn a little bit of money here and there. Expansion of social grants, that just makes the whole country poorer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go with two here. And encourage economic participation through tax incentives. It's really just part of it. So I'm almost tempted to say three, but I'm going to say two.
Okay.
Because that makes economic sense. And that's what, you know, it's been proven in places like China, for example, that you could pull people out of the working class and out of poverty into the middle class with that sort of policy. Regarding land reform, which statement do you feel best represents your views? Number one, support land reform, but not expropriation without compensation. Two, land reform should be sensitive to the needs of traditional leaders. Or three, the only unused government land should be used for land reform. I do support land reform, meaning that we must use our land more effectively. I don't support expropriation without compensation. So, and I think traditional leaders already have in rural places too much to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't go with two. I like the idea of using unused government land for land reform because that's the majority of the land in this country. But it's a bit simplistic, hey? I think I'm going to go with one.
Okay.
All right.
You're almost at the finish line.
How should the government aim to reduce crime? One, increase the number of police officers and increase community engagement. That's always good. Two, stricter prison sentences for serious crimes. That's also good. Three, reduce the number of corrupt police officers. Again, all good. Why must I choose one of these? Can't we have all three?
Nope.
Stricter prison sentences for serious crimes. We've already got full prisons. Doesn't seem to make any difference. It's definitely not two for me. Reduce the number of corrupt police officers. Well, obviously that would be good. But I don't know that that's actually going to reduce crime. Because crime is the behavior that happens before the police pitch up.
Yes.
So it has to be one. Okay, which issue needs more attention? Number one, load shedding. Two, illegal immigration. Three, protecting minority rights. Four, healthcare. Well, the number one big hindrance to South Africa's prosperity and the thing that irritates most people, what would you say?
Load shedding.
Damn right. Going with the same thing.
So.
What would you like to see in a ruling party?
Hmm.
Okay. Number one, a newer party to address the failures of more established ones. Sounds good. Two, a party with a longer track record at provincial local government level. Also, not bad. Three, a party which places high value on traditional leadership and conservatism. No. Four, a party which uses Christian principles to inform its policy. We had him in here yesterday. That was Reverend Kenneth Meshwe. So it's not four or three.
So it's between one
and two. Do I want a new party or a party with a longer track record? See, there's some good new ideas, and I'm not all about track record because, frankly, there have only been two parties in South Africa that have actually run provinces or cities. Only two.
Yes.
So I know what's going to happen. If I choose two, it's going to give me ANC or DA as the only options. If I choose one, there might be a little more nuance. What do I do? What would you reckon?
Well, this is for you, Gareth. But
yeah, but what would you choose?
I went with a new party just to spice things up. I think that's what we need as a country, something different, something fresh. And
you're going to choose one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with one as well. Let's see what happens. Congratulations. Based on your policy views, you've matched with Action SA.
Same as me when I filled out
this. I'm just checking that Action SA didn't pay for this.
Like, I was so shocked when it said, you know. So Herbert Mashaba, I've been reading that manifesto and.
Okay, well, we had him in here last week, so at least we're talking to. There are a couple of things that he didn't really tick my boxes on, but you know what? Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
There we go.
Now you know who to.
Action essays for me and for Simpiwe, but you do it and tell us what your results are. I want to hear what you get.
Yes.
There we go. Okay, well, that's cool. I'm glad you found that.
Yeah.
Very nice. You see, we're learning things on the trot here this morning. Max Sony says, change the subject, G. Was that while we were talking about parties?
Mm-hmm.
Kala says it's going to say Gareth should vote ACDP. You got that wrong.
That's if you picked that Christian part.
Mm-hmm. Donna says, I'm trying to find out what happens to my vote if I'm not in South Africa. There's no South African embassy in Libya. Oh, you're in Libya. That's tough. Because Zuma pissed off the previous leadership. He never paid back their money. Ooh. The previous leadership being Muammar Gaddafi. Yeah, Donna, I don't. You're in Libya, honey.
Does she not apply for a special vote?
I don't think so. Not in Libya. Okay, yeah. Libya, please. You can't even apply for safety and security in Libya. Just look after yourself, right, Donna?
Oh, sorry.
Tough place you're in.
Sorry.
Holy shit. Mm. JP says, I got the DA. Does that make me racist? Gift says we'll all get action SA. Well, no.
No, someone got DA.
There are definitely answers there that I could see would push you in an ANC or EFF direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to go and try them and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Simpiwe is off to the zoo this weekend. Tell us what you're up to. And while you're thinking about that, I just want to show you why it's great to live in 2024 as opposed to, I don't know, 1970s Britain.
Okay.
Yeah, this is an insert, documentary insert on the BBC. I want you to note two things here. And if you're not watching, you don't have to be watching because you can hear it in the way they speak. But man, first of all, the kind of people they put on TV in those days.
Ooh.
Okay, this is obviously the beginning of TV, so they didn't really work out that if you put terrifically ugly people in television, it's going to chase people away. Because that was the only, you know, it was only the BBC. It was like they didn't have an option to watch other stuff. So this was the one gap in human history where ugly people had a chance. Okay, they had a window period. They could sneak in just for a short while, these monsters and gorgons and trolls.
Oh,
and
no.
They could finally be famous for just a short period of time. But watch this, because the funny thing is that, and then the other funny thing is what they're talking about. And we've got to talk about what your favorite is in a second. But the different flavors of potato chips. This was a big deal because they only had...
This conversation is very relevant. Very, very relevant.
I know, and I know you have strong views because I do too, okay? And South Africa does. Remember we voted a little while ago?
I want to be a Simba Chippy.
Yeah, but we chose which flavors we wanted to get rid of or which ones we wanted to keep. And it drove the whole country into an absolute state of apoplexy.
Yes.
Right, so let's look at this. Just if you can't watch it, I'll explain what's happening. Mm-hmm. If you're on YouTube, like and subscribe. Here is an insert on the BBC, and we'll talk about this afterwards. Here we go. And just pay attention to the anchor and the enormous chomper teeth that she has, which make it almost impossible for her to say the word crisps.
Oh, my word.
Because her teeth are so enormous, they take up the space of three mouths. and you'll see what I mean, all right? I'm not being horrible. Maybe I am. Take a look.
Have you noticed how exotic the humble crisp has become? Once it was plain and then it was salted, and now they have the most extraordinary flavours. So Paul went out on the streets with gammon-flavoured crisps and corn cocktail-flavoured crisps and pickled onion-flavoured crisps, the lot, and asked people if they could tell what the flavour's supposed to be.
All right. Whoa!
You tell!
You can't tell?
No!
You've no idea what they taste of.
Well, yeah, they just taste like the ordinary.
Would you like to taste
it? It's a bit fishy.
No one can work out what they taste of. A bit fishy, you think?
Plain fishy
they
taste.
They were bacon.
Never.
What do you think those are?
That is very difficult.
It's chicken.
Never.
Well, that first one. No, that one. The one you just tell is
well,
chicken.
They don't taste like the chicken I do. This nuts not cock of on, is it?
A little bit sharp.
All right. So, if you can get past the facial expressions, how's that anchor?
Yeah. The
they
teeth
seem like it has some crisps. At least wants a lot of different crisps.
Anyway, what is the flavor of chips that are appropriate? Because in South Africa, we apparently really like salt and vinegar.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan. I'm actually the one who's like, they must go.
Huh.
Salt and vinegar must just go. Mm. Barbecue, standard. Barbecue is a standard. You know, lightly salted, love those.
All right.
Those are the girls that... You know, they know themselves.
Right.
What else? That Mexican flavor. Ooh. Ooh. Just has my heart.
Okay.
Yes. And that's basically like my top three. Everything else, don't really care about.
I promise you, I had an hour long conversation with a relative of mine an hour. We spoke about Fritos and Big Corn Bites. Okay? Which one tomato is better? Which one barbecue is better? And I have never had an argument that was that ridiculous about something so simple for so long.
No, it's not simple, Gareth. It happened recently. I can understand.
So you're either the Fritos guy or you are the barbecue guy.
Yes. But
the Big Corn Bites guy.
I can tell you one thing. Every time my friends and I link up and we're like, oh, I'll get snacks, I'll get this. Mm. It's an argument because some people be like, mm-hmm. I want Doritos. I want Lay's. And then it's like, excuse me, we're not getting Lay's because they only give us 20% of the chips and then the rest is air. and then when it comes to the actual flavors, when you're like, oh, Doritos, then people are like, oh, I want the
blue ones.
I want the, the spicy ones. I can't tolerate spice.
I don't touch the cheese ones. I touch the blue ones, but not the cheese ones. And I do like the salt and vinegar. Sorry. In fact, sometimes I have such a craving for that. Yeah. You know how, for example, again, when you talk about snacks, we need snacks for a party or whatever.
Yes.
I automatically think of chips and everything else is way down the line from that. Sweet things, whatever else it is. That's the number one go-to.
No.
So these are a big deal to South Africans. We can't ignore it. People would rather argue for an hour about what chips to buy than which party to vote for.
Oh, yes.
Right?
That is so true.
Damn right.
And they'll even tell you the exact kind of snacks. Mm. I'm the opposite with you. So the first thing I think of is sweets. So I'm the person who will always bring the packet of sweets and stuff like that because I know everyone buys chips.
Right.
Like that's one department that we never need to stress about. But then there's never anything else on the table. So it's like, I'll bring the sweets and maybe the biltong and we'll see what else we get because snacks are important.
Listen, this is funny. Tracy says, good Lord, that woman in the clip could climb a tree without using her hands. Louis says, she looks like a nice Buerta impersonator. Nico says, crisis, that lady could take a bite out of the atmosphere. People are horrible. She should be on the BBC Earth with teeth like that, says Vyasin. Beautiful. All right, and then obviously it's very quickly turned to a discussion around chips. So we got Ghost Pops, we've got salt, just salted. They're purists here. Judas says Lay's sweet Thai chili.
Okay.
Donna says barbecue. Gift says bring back salt and pepper flavor.
Oh, is this before my time?
No, those were not so long ago. This is 4 years ago or so. I remember those. Joking Atheist says Creoles with a goat. Boiled Prawn Shack says chutney, salt and vinegar, smoked beef and or cheese and onion.
Cheese and onion, yes. Underdog. Underdog, yes.
Okay, you see, huge controversy here. You want to start an argument this weekend, bring up this chip thing. You may think we're just talking nonsense today and that we've because Fridays are fun and light, we've gone so fun and light, we just don't even know what we're talking about. The reality is people have extremely strong views about this stuff. Yeah, I can't do without chips. It's the only thing in terms of snacks and food that you know you shouldn't eat because it's just bad for you, but tastes so damn good. I have to. That's the one thing I wouldn't give up. So, all right, very, very good. And just to go back to the voting quickly, this is interesting. Donna says we have to go to Tunisia to vote if you're in Libya.
Ooh.
But I have school and we as teachers have special police protection wherever we go. Yeah, you see, I told you. Some of our kids' parents are delegates.
Yo.
So, I mean, you can't go to Tunisia. That's a long way off no matter where you are in Libya. That's not easy. And then Lubabalo says he did the your vote.
Mm.
I got DA, it was on point, it's the party that I'm going to vote for. So I think this thing might be quite accurate. And it was only, six or seven questions?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
So it's not going to take you a long time.
Mm-hmm. But still do more research after it's picked the party for you, read up on them, you know.
Louis Kutsia says, sweet chili Doritos, the blue packet. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. God. But would rather have biltong than chips, says Joking Atheist. Yeah, but that's expensive now. Mm-hmm. Yes, sus.
But also, just like chips, biltong also have like levels, okay? Like, let's be honest, the best biltong out there is from the racist shops. And if you don't know where to get it from, if you can't smell that racism as you walk in,
it's the wrong one.
It's not gonna slap. I'm sorry. It's not, it's just there. It doesn't have that thing. So even biltong, there's
you have to fight for the best stuff in life.
I know, right?
Nothing is ever easy.
Yeah. So ish.
They don't make it easy for us. They really don't. Yeah. All right, very good. We're done with that. We got to get to Ben and talk to him about some sport this morning. We've got so many things to still get to. And also a little bit of news. There's some stories that we must pay attention to in the news, but I had to show you those women in Britain. Yo, it's hard, man. Hard life.
We've come a long way.
I was going to talk about a Gen Z blindness epidemic, which Simpiwe has. She's gone to a research site.
Of course.
That's, can you imagine? That's where she's gone for all of this. So I'm just waiting for that. That's obviously going to be terrifying news for Gen Z. And Bekele says he's been working from home for years because of the terrible state of the SAPS building. So instead of fixing the building, I'll tell you the whole story. I don't want to spoil the fun. Also, there's a K-pop star I've never heard of who has had to apologize to her fans because she has a boyfriend. Yeah, because if you think you've seen childish and immature and arrested development in your life, you haven't until you've seen K-pop fans who are perpetually stuck in infancy, from what I can tell. But it's going to be interesting. I'll tell you the story and you can make your own conclusions. And then the US library that accepts cat photos in place of fines must be run by an old cat lady. That's all I know. I just did want to throw this in. This is kind of funny. Apparently, there's a story that in 2011, mm-hmm. Ed Sheeran was earnestly trying to break into show business.
Okay.
And his agent scored him a decent gig at the relaunch of a place called the Cuckoo Club. With media interest at a high and the release of his much-anticipated Plus album, which became a massive hit, it looked like he'd be a perfect fit. But initially, after agreeing, the promoter saw a picture of Sheeran and called his agent back to say, absolutely not. We can't put a ginger on the poster. So he was rejected.
Just based on looks.
Exactly. So they said they'd go with Basement Jacks instead. They cast him out because he's a ginger. How's that? So
and people think they have a rough, hey?
Discrimination is a real thing in 2024. And this is not so long ago, by the way. And this guy's gone on to become world famous. So this was only in 2011.
They could have had bragging rights to say, we had Ed Sheeran here. We gave him his big break.
We were one of the first places. And his agent's like, we've got to get him on somewhere. Well, so how about the Cuckoo Club? That sounds good. They don't sound like they'll be too difficult. Meanwhile.
No, they lived up to their name. They were cookies.
Damn right. All right. So let us pay attention now to the sport, which we do every Friday. And we get to check in with our superstar talent who's been playing in an amateur golf tournament at Fan Court, no less. Mm-hmm. It is time for Beyond the Scoreboard with Ben Karpinski. It is powered by Superbets. Good morning, Ben, in a dressing gown.
Oh, hey, Ben.
You look like you look like Hugh Hefner. What's going on there? That's good stuff.
Guys, this is me. Outside of this, most of the time I'm actually in a gown. Huh? I like the soft sort of texture. It's comfy. It's me.
Very
good. Where I am right now in my life. It's just the appropriate attire. Sorry, I probably could wrap up a little bit.
Please, I mean, the rest of us are at work.
Yeah, that's fine. But I mean, you don't exactly listen to this show for anything normal, do you?
No,
so
that's
I'm going to cut right to the chase, guys. Unfortunately, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to be the world champion. The last 2 days have really not gone to plan as far as being my best. It's been hard. Like, it's been really difficult. I'm not going to give you a single excuse, but I think it's actually been really, really, like, probably the greatest sporting experience from, like, me personally involved in my whole life, because I didn't know golf could ever be this difficult. And I think I've done particularly well to actually just stay in the game, so to speak. So I'm currently 14th out of 41 players.
That's really good.
Going into the final round. Yeah, I've just had a lot of opportunities, but it's just so incredible how BMW have essentially, I said this going into this tournament, they are giving you an experience to be a professional golfer for a week. Mm-hmm. And then you get here and it's like, you cannot actually comprehend the attention to detail and how every single step of the way you feel like that is the reality.
Right.
So you get into the first tee and there's a person announcing you, you know, from South Africa, Ben Karpinski, and your players are also here to win. You know, not a lot of conversation, which I find amazing. Normally when you play in golf days or even social games, you're going to have to make chit chat along the way somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I haven't had to do that for 2 days. It has been absolute bliss. I hit my ball, I can walk, and you don't actually have to chat to anybody. It's just, it's introverted sporting like paradise, because I've mostly been playing with Asian people. Uh-huh. And they don't really speak the English, obviously.
Yeah.
So there's been a few key polite words here and there, like, you know, good shot, thank you, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can just play and just walk. It's amazing. I've got one of the best caddies I think I've ever had, a guy called Warren here, who has huge amounts of belief and patience in me. And I think the biggest downfall this week, and if you are a golfer, you'll understand this. I've actually hit about 6 or 7 genuine shanks, like. It's just,
oh no, that's awful.
So badly at times, but it was cool. It was cool to actually play with like crippling nerves because you want to do so well. And, you know, prior to maybe 6 weeks ago, I only played golf like maybe twice a month, which isn't enough, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then I started practicing. I started raising my expectations. You know, obviously the weight of the show behind me, I want to do you guys proud, all those things. And there was times where I've never been, like 2 weeks ago at the Vic Falls, when you stand at that bridge swing, that gorge swing, mm-hmm. I felt like that on the golf course for many, many, many hours. And it's the weirdest feeling because all you're doing is hitting a ball, right? All you're doing is hitting a ball. But the nerves in the first day in particular were so hectic. So I've got a completely new appreciation. I already had a high appreciation for professional sportsmen, what they do, delivering BMT, composure. Yeah, it's just been one of the greatest experiences. I mean, off the course, this whole BMW event is like, it's the reason why they call it a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Sure.
Gary was here last night. He actually hoisted an Asian woman into the air as she won a prize.
Oh.
effortlessly, without skipping a beat.
Here's the rankings here. Look, there's Ben at number 13 in this. That's pretty good.
Currently 13th, but there's been huge drama because obviously there's three players per country. So going into the final round, South Africa, we were tied 6th, I think it was, but unfortunately one of our guys got disqualified because he signed for an incorrect score. Oh. As in, he got a four, his marker thought he had a 3, and then he didn't double check it, and then he got disqualified. So we're out of the team race, which sucks. So basically, there's no prizes here. Unless I shoot the best score of my entire life, which, I mean, this course is a beast. It's really, really difficult. We're playing the Montague course at Fancourt. If I shoot the best score of my life, I might get into the top 5 today. Which is obviously what I'm hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's me. First day was so shit. And then yesterday I had much better patches. And then, you know, like I had Daniela walking around me yesterday. My dad was here on the first day, which was amazing. So they really enjoyed it.
Support Daniela for the Karpinski team.
Yeah, I think Daniela joined me for like 6 holes yesterday. And those are the 6 holes I've sort of played my best.
Huh.
Which
she's the secret ingredient.
I hope she's around today.
Yep. She is. She was going to go do one of the excursions, and then she's like, nah, it's cool. I'll watch you, but it seems like a lot of fun.
Good. Okay, well, I'm very excited. So there's huge potential for people to enjoy themselves, but most importantly for them to experience what it's like to really be in an absolutely, you know, winner-takes-all competition. I like the fact that you've owned up to having reported on sport for years, how difficult it bloody well is when you're in those sportsman's shoes. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, look, I probably make the error of always hyping things up too much. Like, I'm quite an emotional person when it comes to anything sport, and I just got here. Like, I'm so excited. I'm still so excited. It's the last day, and I'm still so excited being here. And it does kind of play up to stuff. I've lost quite a lot of balls. I mean, yesterday on the 18th hole, I was going for par 5 and 2. I hit it, but it just went into the water, and then I proceeded to hit the next two balls into the water. And maybe like 6 months ago to a year ago, I might have thrown a club. I might have just wanted to stop playing. But I was like, okay, well, the next hole I'm gonna be better. So this tournament's actually shown me how mature I've become in the last 2 years.
Good. Okay, well, this is all very, very impressive. And I think there are some people who are sniping from the sides. Carl says, I had so much faith in Ben. I'm so disappointed. Ben, the Proteas of Cliff Central.
Carl, well, I went full Proteas on day one here. No. It was the weirdest thing. But yeah, at the same time, screw you. But I agree with you. You know, this is why I open up with this. I hide nothing, Carl. I had nothing.
No, clearly. That's what people are also talking about with your dressing gown. Bronwyn says, while Ben's dressed like that, do you remember the TV show Tropical Heat? What a show. All right. Let's talk about some sport. Let's get into some scores and some games to watch for the weekend. Yes. We've got lots of things to pay attention to. And you could bet in some of these. Just go along to Superbets. And if you register today, you can go and bet immediately. Put some money on. You never know. You could win big.
Yeah, guys, it really is just a really cool weekend because we've got so much variety. So let's start with Formula One because we don't often do that. If you are to look up what's happening in Formula One right now, obviously the first race of the season was last week, and surprise, surprise, Red Bull won. Hmm. But now most of the headlines are about Christian Horner, of course, and there was claims of extramural activities with him and an employer of Red Bull.
Yeah.
She accused him of some sexual foul play. She has now been suspended. So I know it's the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix this weekend, and that's what you most want to look into. Mm-hmm. They'll be testing today on Friday, and then the race will obviously be there on the Sunday. And the female employee has been suspended by Red Bull. So that's pretty much the biggest story within the Formula One right now. So we'll kick on from there. There is test cricket on the go. Now, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago that, you know, obviously the really rich cricket nations, they get to play quite a lot of test cricket. And I think in the case of the current India versus England series, it doesn't really help anybody, really, because England somehow snuck in that first test and they won that, but they've been dominant ever since. And now these Oaks are being trotted out for a fifth test. England shite again, 218 all out in the first innings. India are pretty much cruising at 186 for one. So looking for another win there for India. And then New Zealand, after being so strong in test cricket, especially when they play at home in Middle Earth, they're also getting absolutely trousered by the Aussies. Mm. So they're 162 all out yesterday. Australia 81 for two currently. So you've got that to look forward to over the rest of the weekend, but I think it's going to be quite one-sided again. And Australia, to their credit, you know, I guess they do live so close to New Zealand, so it's almost like a neutral activity, this. But those two teams are looking really, really strong. In the UFC, well, you know, everyone's talking about UFC 300. Is Dricusson Adesanya going to be the late, like, sort of inclusion on that? But I think a lot of people are overlooking just how good this UFC 299 card, which is happening this weekend. We've got Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera. Now, Sean O'Malley, whose record is 17-1, as in he's won 17 and he's lost one, he believes he's been unbeaten because the one loss that he had was when he actually got injured during the fight and he couldn't continue, and then the guy basically just ground and pounded him. That guy is now fighting him for the title, Marlon Vera. They're both incredible strikers. They're known for their striking. So this is going to be a stand contest, and it's going to be, I think, really, really quick. I think 1-2 rounds tops. I think O'Malley really has become such an elite striker within the sport. So much so that, you know, he started his career saying he's going to be the next Conor McGregor, which is a really, really bold claim for someone who looked like he worked at Walmart. But this Oak put his mind to it. He's put a lot into his career, his training. Him and his coach have been together since day one. They're like this duo, like these two guys that I think they pretty much do everything together. And they are such a cohesive, solid unit. Marlon Chito Vera, I think he's Ecuadorian. He's a bit of an unknown quantity when it comes to like a big five-round sort of contest like this. So I think it's going to be an incredible fight. O'Malley, this is his first title defense as well, so I would back him. Dustin Poirier versus Bonias Benoit Saint-Denis. Now, the Saint-Denis guy was like a special forces hardcore soldier kind of person. So not only does he know how to fight people, I think he knows how to kill people as well. So that's going to be an interesting contest. I'm looking forward to watching that. And then in the UFC, what often happens is that they somehow get these really hot sort of talents that come through, and they need to be put up against someone to show their mettle. It's kind of every proving ground. And the proving ground in the welterweight division is a guy called Kevin Holland. He had an amazing streak at one stage. Then he just fought really, really strong guys and just beat them. Sorry, and got beaten by them. But he's still a good enough battle for a lot of people. He'll be taking on Michael Page, who seemed to be the next big thing in the welterweight division. I don't know about that, but we'll see after this one. And then Gilbert Burns versus Jack Della Maddalena. This, again, is going to be such a great fight because Gilbert Burns, the last time he fought, he came off an injury, tiny little camp, and people actually forget how good this dude is. He was the first guy to retake on Khamzat Chimaev when he was charging through his intro phase and took him to 3 rounds and also bust him up quite a lot. I'm going to go with Burns on that one. And then we've got Peter Yan, who was the champion, and then he's been in a bit of a downward spiral, but this guy can still bang, as they say in the classics. And he'll be taking on Song Yadong, who unfortunately I do not know enough about to tell you anything about. So that'll be roughly from 5 a.m. South African time on the main card there, UFC 299. I'm damn excited about it because I've just been doing golf this whole week. So I'm excited to get home, watch all the UFC embedded, and get into the UFC this weekend. On the rugby front, we've got the Six Nations. Now, it's becoming a bit of a soap opera in that Ireland have become so incredibly strong. France without DuPont look absolutely horrible. I mean, they drew with Italy. And now you've got England, who, again, are just, I think the phrase is flattering to deceive. Is that the phrase where you say it's like nice words to say bad things? So Saturday, we've got Italy versus Scotland. And Scotland mathematically are still in with a chance of the Six Nations, but they have to win the last two games, probably with a bonus point. The one game is against Italy, so it's not going to be a pushover, but I'm going to back Scotland there. The big game for the weekend is England hosting Ireland. Now, Steve Borthwick has been criticized for the fact that England just don't have any attacking flair whatsoever. They're just a boring team. They've been a boring team. And people are drawing way too much in the fact that they had a decent World Cup against really kind of weaker teams. So Ireland are going to go out there with a pretty much full strength team at 6:45 on Saturday, and I think it's going to be a big result. They've already had some big results against the big teams, obviously starting against France. So I really back Ireland here for a decent margin win. And though, sorry, there's a message about France and DuPont. Yeah, yes, since he's gone to the sevens, there's one guy, guys, just to kind of, I keep harping on about France and DuPont, but he left the Six Nations team to go play sevens. These guys are nowhere now. And suddenly France are a sevens powerhouse. Because there's one dude.
Yeah.
And then Sunday we've got Wales against the aforementioned France. That'll be at 5. And I think there'll be a great game as well because Wales young, pretty much, up and coming. France, who knows? Who absolutely knows? And then on the football, we've got, it's been such a resurgent sort of time for Arsenal. And I know sometimes the big flattering results don't mean much when you play against the really big teams, but they've been scoring huge amounts of goals the last few weeks. So they're currently on 61 points in third, Man City 62 in second, and then Liverpool still 63 on top there. So this is the interesting dynamic for this weekend is that, firstly, you'll get like a curtain raiser with mid-table teams like Man United and Everton. They'll play at 2:30 if you're still into those teams. But then Arsenal take on Brentford at 7:30 on Saturday. So if they win that, they go to 64 points, which then has a lot of bearing on the Sunday game where Liverpool takes on Man City at 5:45. If these two just draw, then we've got Arsenal on top 64. Their goal difference is better than anybody right now. You'll have Liverpool also on 64. So it's one of those pivotal weekends at the top of the table where the results are going to mean a hell of a lot. There's also Aston Villa versus Spurs. That's 4th versus 5th. That's taking on at 3:00 on Sunday.
By the way, our new producer, James, is a Liverpool fan. So he has skin in this game and he will be reporting back on Monday. He'll either be very happy or miserable as a result.
Well, yeah, sure. Liverpool at home versus Man City. Liverpool at home versus Man City is a huge, huge, huge match.
All right. Ben is like, who cares?
Are they not like top of the log currently? Like, come on now.
Oh, by the way, I see Sanele says here, Ben, the F1 race is on Saturday. It's moved forward because of Ramadan. So, bit of a correction there. Thank you, Sanele.
Sorry, going back to top of the log. I told you, Liverpool are top of the log.
Yeah.
They're the best team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I do care. I care a lot. All right. And then in the PSL, where obviously people care a little bit less, but it's still happening. It's still a thing. This is the big Soweto derby weekend. So Pirates will be the home team, although they always kind of play at the FNB Stadium for the big games. They'll be the home team versus Chiefs. Now, Pirates are currently fifth. Chiefs are currently sixth. That's at 3:30 on Saturday. And, you know, like the football romantic always wants this game to be the biggest game in SA football. And it is. You can't discredit that. Mm-hmm. But over the years, people just keep saying how this game has lost its romance. It's like gravitas, because these teams just aren't contesting for the big titles anymore. You know, and it's difficult to ever see Sundowns not winning the PSL. So if you want to watch the game for the spectacle of the full FNB Stadium, amazing. These two teams, not exactly in the greatest form, I would say. I know Chiefs in particular have had some strange results in lesser cups sort of things. I would say back that game for a draw. Both these teams need this win so incredibly much to try and springboard something in the season. Because, you know, as I found out this week after trying to be a semi-pseudo-professional golfer for a few days, momentum is a big thing in sport. It really is. It just makes you feel better. You get more confidence. You start to believe in yourself. So a win here for either team could give them a bit of a charge towards the top of the table. I don't know. I think I'm just being nice by even saying that. And then the golf there is on the Sunshine Tour, co-sanctioned with the DP World Tour. You've got the Johnson Workwear Open at Glendower. So if you are in the Gauteng region and you want to watch some pro golf, actual pro golf, then yeah, that's it. Glendower this weekend. And that's pretty much it for your sport. I know there's other things happening in the world, but that is what I feel very passionate about. And I think there's some amazing opportunities there to go into Superbet. There are some sure things. There are some 50-50 calls. And there are also just some really interesting sports to watch. So my suggestion is always to go look at all of this, spend some time on the site, and create a bit of a multiplier so that you've got skin in the entire weekend.
Right.
Just, you know, obviously, if you're an Arsenal fan or a Man United fan, you want to back your team, go ahead, especially if you're new to it. Just put something on a game. But trying to get these multipliers just allows you to really enjoy all the sort of cogs of your sporting weekend, of which there are many this weekend.
All right, beautiful. Superbets, of course, supports responsible gambling, strictly now under 18s. Winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline, 0800 006 008. And Ben, good luck for today.
Thanks, guys. I'm teeing off at 9:57. Again, I'm playing with two Asian gentlemen, one from Vietnam, one from China.
Good.
Not expecting huge amounts of conversation, but the goal today, it's a lofty one. The goal today is to have 38 points, which means I'll be two. The goal today is to shoot 76 as like a golf score, and that will give me 38 points.
All right, and then how would that place you if everything goes your way?
I don't know, Gareth. I mean,
depends on how everyone else plays.
If all my competitors had a big night last night, which I highly doubt, maybe they went a bit too hard on the red meat and they're a bit backed up. You know, you can only hope for these things to really level the playing field.
Okay.
This is the first time. So, including the practice round, you play four rounds in a row and you walk. Like, you're not any of those cart thingies. So, another thing that I'm really happy about this week is that I've altered my training so that I can be as pain-free as possible, and going into the fourth day feel amazing. I've been doing cold plunges and steams and like wind down sessions, because at Fancourt here you've got the best facilities you can think of.
Yeah.
And Daniela and I have been having interesting conversations with new friends in saunas, getting people into the cold plunges here. It's just been such an incredible event. So it's going well. Like, I feel great going into the final round. I can hopefully be stronger and fitter than the rest.
All right. We're all behind you. And Duds in the comments says, good luck, Ben. And there are lots of other comments from people saying, kick some ass. We will see you next week.
I will be in studio. Without the trophy, but I'll be in studio. So,
All right. Well, we haven't given up yet. I mean, they could all just completely ruin today and you could win. Who knows? It's possible.
Yeah. Or maybe there's some sort of, maybe garden root ostriches will infest the course and
who
attack
knows?
People. I mean, you
who
can
knows?
Never. You, who knows? Who knows, Gareth?
It's very exciting. All right. Thank you, Ben. There we go. Ben Karpinski live from Fancourt. Ciao. Bye. All right. And we've still got a couple of minutes before we get to 7.
Mm-hmm.
I want Simpiwe to just tell us, please, about Gen Z blindness. Apparently, there's an epidemic. And I didn't want to throw this headline in there without giving you the real story.
Yes.
So what do you got for us?
because every week I need to go and do some research and find a new study. A new study suggests that Gen Z are now facing a blindness epidemic. It has been revealed that nearsightedness has increased by a massive 59% in
Can
Gen
I guess,
Z.
This is phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the reason why. And this is in the United States. So this was done in the United States. They say by 2030, it's going to have gone up to 40% of the world's population. And the top eye surgeon has definitely come out to say the reason for this is because kids are not going out and playing and they're on their phones. And therefore, this has increased the blindness issue now. So please, if you have little ones, let them go out, let them play with other kids, you know, give them a lecture about being home before the street lights come on, before you allow them to be on their phones and tablets for the whole day, because it's going to affect their eyesight. Eat your carrots, kids.
Sure, but you've obviously, I mean, I was in an Uber on Wednesday from the airport, and I was busy with my phone and I didn't look up, and then suddenly when you look up, you're like,
whoa. Yeah.
You know, and I suddenly realized, like, actually, this is terrible. I shouldn't be on this damn thing because you aren't testing your farsightedness. And because you're on the phone, you get kind of zooming. Your whole life just zooms into this tiny myopic space this big.
Yes.
And it can't be good for the eyes. It makes perfect sense. So this may be Simpiwe research in inverted commas, but – sounds about legit to me.
Yes. So let the kids play, especially when they're young. I mean, they're still developing and you want them to develop in all the areas in a very
otherwise
good
you're going to have glasses as thick as the bottom of Coke bottles.
Come on now.
Very bad.
So let them eat their carrots and play outside with the other kids and just enjoy natural sunlight.
Thank you.
They'll get that tablet, you know, one day, someday. Not today.
So Becky Cele, the Minister of Police, says he's been working from home for the past 4 years due to the state of the Telkom Towers building, which houses police headquarters in Pretoria. He was talking to the Portfolio Committee on Police in Parliament on Wednesday, and he referred to the Telkom building as terrible towers. The Department of Public Works has launched an internal investigation into the mismanagement of the Telkom Towers complex. Last week, staff were evacuated after the building was being used and was declared uninhabitable. Can you imagine how bad it's got? And because this guy's in charge, like if your boss doesn't come to check out your working conditions for 4 years, I mean, no wonder this country's in the state that it's in. Instead of sorting out the problem, he sits at home.
You see, that's the issue right there. Like usually when you hear someone say, I've been working from home for the past, I don't know, 6 months, everyone's like, oh my gosh, like how did you guys do that? In this case, it's just like, why are you working from home, chief? Why are you not at the office seeing what people are getting up to, seeing their work conditions, and then just to find out that it's actually, for 4 years, people have not been able to actually work from work. Like,
but you see, he doesn't care because he wasn't there. So for 4 years, out of sight, out of mind. And then suddenly Parliament calls him in to hear about this. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've been working at home for 4 years. All those poor people who are not the chief, they're not the minister, they're not important enough. And he probably had a much better office than all of them.
Oh, yes. He was away from the danger.
To a power of 10. So I'm sure he had his own little bathroom, his own big meeting room, comfortable chairs. It wasn't used. Dust everywhere. For 4 years, this place wasn't used. We're still paying for it, by the way. And then he doesn't care enough to go and check what the other people in the police are going through. No, it's all about him. So he just decides, I'll work from home. And the fact that he could, didn't pitch, I'm sorry, unacceptable. Mm,
yeah, no. This one is just, it's
unbelievable.
It's not a good look, sir. It's
disgusting.
It's not a good look. Don't like it. He has some explaining to do in terms of why did he even allow the building to get that dilapidated.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also as his role is not to just make sure the country works, but to also make sure that the people that you work with are working in safe environments.
And you imagine, like, police work is so demoralizing anyway. You're dealing with criminals. You're dealing with terrible situations. People are bringing their domestic violence, GBV, all that kind of thing to you every day. Being a police woman or man is hard as hell. And now you also have a boss who doesn't give a damn.
Yeah. On that note, please go out and vote on the 29th.
Correct. These are the kind of people that will get in if you don't vote.
Sure. Right. Because what?
Yeah.
No.
And don't vote for him because clearly he doesn't give a damn about anyone but himself. Yeah. I don't know much about K-pop. I mentioned this story just a little while ago. I don't know anything about K-pop, but a K-pop star called Karina has had to issue a handwritten apology to angry fans who accused her of betrayal and threatened to stop attending her concerts because she has a boyfriend.
Okay, how old is she?
Let me see if I can figure this out. South Korean singer Karina, who fronts the girl group AESPA, aespa, has promised fans she will heal the wounds. After it emerged last week, she was dating the actor Lee Jae-wook.
Okay.
Some fans drove a truck to the headquarters of SM Entertainment with an electronic sign attached demanding an apology. The message read, "Is the love to you by your fans not enough? Why did you choose to betray the fans?
No.
Please apologize directly, otherwise you will see a decrease in album sales and empty concert seats." In a handwritten note posted from her Instagram on Wednesday, by the way, how handwritten is your note if you're just posting it on Instagram? Karina, whose real name is Yoo Ji Min, wrote, "I apologize for surprising you greatly."
Oh, surprising you greatly.
K-pop agencies are reportedly keen to promote their stars as romantically obtainable, while in Japan, many pop stars have no dating clauses in their contracts. A decade ago, it was normal for K-pop agencies to ban new stars from relationships or even having a mobile phone. Nowadays, admissions of a relationship are considered a scandal among fans. Are all the people involved in K-pop 5 years old?
Like, wait, this is a grown, I'm assuming she's grown.
I'm going to look her up. I'll tell you how old she is now.
Also, but it's,
whatever her age, this is
the
disgusting.
The entitlement from the fans. Is the love from your fans not enough? No, it's not. You're not giving me the cuddles. You're not, you know, around when I need to just vent to someone or just share cool things. Like, guys, you guys are just online. That's it. Point blank period. I'll see you guys at the concert in like 6 months' time. She has a life to live. Oh, you boy. You guys, people.
I do not know what to say about this. Okay, so this Karina is, I'll tell you how old she is. She's 23 years old. Okay, she is a grown human being. This is outrageous. I mean, it smacks of the slave trade that you've got clauses in your contract that you can't have a mobile phone or a relationship. You're 23 years old. And these fans, they should all be disappointed. I think being disappointed, that's what she looks like. Being disappointed is going to become a part of your life at some point, you immature, dumbass, juvenile, infantilized morons. That this 23-year-old has to apologize for having a boyfriend.
Imagine.
Because her fans are so deluded that they want her to be romantically available. I need to know what the mental illness here is, and I don't understand.
No, I also don't understand. That is just crazy. Like, how do you think she's going to write the best music if she doesn't fall in love and then have heartbreak and have a life? Like, some of the best artists we've had, the music that they created was because they had a life and they could tell us about the drama that was happening in their life. Like, this is just what she just wanted to just be like, I love you. No, she doesn't love you. She doesn't know you from a bar of soap.
I do not understand. I really don't. I don't get it.
No.
Don't know what this is.
No.
People it smacks
entitled.
Of stupid.
No, it's entitlement. Like, the love from your fans.
let me just ask you again. I mean, you've got to question the sanity of the average K-pop fan. Is if this is the sort of stuff.
No. No. No.
All right.
No.
You think you have problems. Listen, you're on your way to work this morning. You don't love your job. You're feeling a little shitty. You don't have money for the weekend. There are all kinds of things that are bothering you this morning.
Real life problems.
Go down on your knees today and thank God you're not a K-pop fan. And if you are, stop listening to the show. I forbid you to listen to us. You're going to drag our general IQ down. I'm horrified. I don't know what to say. Chico says, K-pop fans care more about looks and appearances than the music, to be honest. Well, I've no doubt.
But some people become hotter because they have a partner. Like, have you not seen, like, guys, let's not act as if having a relationship is so taboo and is so bad. Like, dating is good. It's good for experience and just, you know, personality. Like, excuse me, no, get out of here. Bye.
All right. Mm-mm. Well, we've discovered a new level of stupid this morning. That's all. We will be back with more in just a short while, and a special guest joining us in just a little bit. Don't you go anywhere. It's Friday, cliffcentral.com. It is just after 7.
Cliffcentral.com.